Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
the second podcast on marketing. This is going to be a three marketing ideas of different complexity coming across, and this is, to give you the context, this is a podcast while walking, so you'll hear the odd sounds of me walking, the odd bits of traffic, and it's a podcast to give some general information to Mark Phoebus, and someone I've met in marketing at Toastmasters, so he's very much interested in looking to speech. Now, unfortunately, it's not going to be a one or mercifully short podcast, it's going to be relatively long, only because of the amount of material I have to cover, and also the fact that I'm walking from Brooklands to Blaxland. There's probably a little bit of a story of that. Now, as I said, there's going to be three products, and a little pre-story to that. Three products, and then a summary. This is the structure ahead. So look, the pre-story is, and you really need to hear the pre-story, is because a lot of these things are unusual. They're not, how did you come up with that? And this is what I suppose a lot of people have been asking, how did I come up with that? So I've been a research scientist in quantum physics, and often there'll be a problem in the lab, lasers and stuff like that, lasers and computers, and people, and even myself, will say, look, how did I come up with that? And I've got a few, 20 or so patents that you can check the recording for various things, molecules, devices and stuff like that. At various points of time, early stages of my life, where I thought, oh, it's going to live long enough, it's going to be worth patenting that. It's sort of like, there's almost no use patenting if you're 75 patenting stuff. You know, you'll get the patent and no one's going to get any benefit. You won't get any benefit from it. And to be quite honest, I've got really, I can't explain where the ideas come from. And it seems a bit lucky or sometimes obvious to come through. So various optical fibre inventions, few different laser mechanisms, few different devices over the time, and just I suppose generally new business models to come across. So let's go through these three inventions or three marketing ideas. Now, the first marketing idea is a little, sorry about this, that's what our residents have got to go with that, the air brakes going across here. The evidence as these, first one is a business card. Now, it's unlike a normal business card, it's a business card with two little doors. It's the same size as a business card, but double the size, and these fold-out doors. It's a little, basically, cabinet, and it's got your name on the outside, and it unfolds and reveals I have the inside lid of a fridge. And I'll just go back, so it's a really interesting aspect. I'll sort of go back to how I came to even notice business cards. Now, I basically didn't notice them until I was visiting China. They said, oh, here's your business cards, you'll need those. And so I had these skanky University of Toronto ones, and I had all the various sort of fairly people high up in there. Everyone was high up in the Communist Party. I couldn't tell who was what. But different people had these immaculate cards, sort of layered with sort of opals on there. They weren't jewel encrusted cards, but near enough. And that were expected. And it's handed to me, I would know the business deal. And then I get the card and get my glue stick, glue the back of it, and whack it in my lab book and write notes about it. You're not supposed to do that. But I didn't realise that at the time. And, I could caught someone's face and go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have had a little temple I put the card in. bizarre as it is. So different cultures, different things, and we have to be responsible. And this is the whole thing with Mark. Small aside on the marketing story. I did a MBA, and with statistics background, I did not understand marketing at all until the last exam, where I realized, oh, you mean it's not about reality, it's not about actual reasons, it's about the psychology, the confidence, the things outside. And so they'd give me a list of numbers, and I'd say, well, someone's made up this list because the numbers are incorrect. And white shoe marketing person just really almost lost his temper. I couldn't quite understand why. So that's the story there. The other card story was, I knew people from Japan, China, you have to watch out taking in business cards, you got to do it. But Americans came across from Corning, and they said, oh, here's our business card. And I said, oh, thank you, I won't lose this. And so I had, back in the day, you know, those spikes for receipts. I had one of those. I went, everything yanks it, and there's a laugh of realization. So with that background, I knew that what you needed for special occasions is the next generation business card with something which would move, amuse the kids, open up, and a bit of a story on the outside of the card. So the one that I did was a fridge, and inside was a bottle of innovation. It started off with a wine bottle, but then they said, oh, look, you're a teacher, you can't have any alcohol. I just quickly changed it to a pop bottle with the word innovation, and how you pick it off, you know, basically a website, something very slim. You got double the size of the card, and with that, yeah, you don't want to put your information on the outside of the card. It's the inside, but with the message and the contact information and some decorative stuff. So that is a marketing thing. And so I said, when I spoke to you, I said, look, there's these marketing things that I've been involved with, and I've done. But I didn't say too much, and then I said a little bit that I'm doing the podcast for cognitive training, and trying to get the tips from Toastmasters up and going, and the fact that you've got to keep on doing it. So that's the first one. The second one's got a little bit more complex origin. So what it is a plastic tube, and it's got tent cards of different sizes, and you've got the smallest tent card on the top, the largest tent card on the bottom, and as you rock the tube, one message, if you mold it, the left hand is highest, it will slide down to the right hand side, and it will say a message, and then you tip it up the other way, and you tip the right one up, it will then slide the other way and say this message. Now, I have one of these last ones on my shelf somewhere. Lost it, unfortunately, mate. I'll send you a YouTube of it. But the essential thing here is the same sort of idea of a object, a what if, oh, and the message. So you can have, I think it was Glenbrook Blue Mountains, fantastic place written on it with kangaroos. And what I've done is that this required a little bit of engineering to produce, and so I wrote the software to produce the paper, which you cut out and folded up to make these objects. And so for the engineering, and one of the things is I made a dozen of them and actually took them in to the Glenbrook gift shop, and we didn't sell one of them. So that was one of the things of, oh well, also the story of it was that I was, just so the backstory of it was that I was in a Springwood coffee shop with my mum, and the woman put the there was a table tent card on the outside, and I looked at this tent card and I said, oh, that's interesting, that has a symmetry that if you turn it round, it's negative symmetry, so if you were to number it you could make a number line which builds up negative and positive, and so I can make actually a slightly more sophisticated number line that people can learn maths with. We can have blocks, and this is a new way of doing it. So I developed this system, gave a talk about it. People weren't really interested in it. Obviously, I didn't have the marketing for it. So I devised this superior way of teaching mathematics. Teaching mathematics, and the end result was that when I was holding these, all these different cards, the ones, the 11s, would just flip back and forward, all beautifully coloured in a sort of mesmerising thing. And then I thought, oh, you could put a message on it, and then it went forward. So let's go in summary. And as you can sort of see the theme, someone who just spontaneously invents things, someone who is in the course of his life pushed into these unusual positions, sort of pushed with business cards, pushed and then invented, then with these wanted to teach maths, pushes and invents it, and goes up to a point where people aren't interested, and some of the inventions people were interested in, so there's enough that people are and are not interested in. But also part of the process is saying, oh bloody hell, you better get proper training in blah blah blah, you better do an MBA, come on, you've done the MBA or still, you know, like you couldn't get money for research laboratories unless you had the MBA. Or you could if you were loved by university, but if you weren't loved and you wanted to go around, you had to have all the credentials, so I had to go out there and learn it. So I'm not passionate about it, I'm sort of knowledgeable of it. And the reason I'm saying that is that coming up, the real understanding of knowledge and marketing is really into this next generation of things. So I'm retired, kicked off teaching, and saying, I'm really concerned, I really feel deeply concerned that although I may have problems, there are these generalised problems that people really don't understand what they're teaching. They don't understand the science, they're teaching fake science. And so, believe it or not, I've developed these social robots. And they're not social robots yet, but they're going to be. And they're basically little plastic boxes, and in it is some science, but it's structured in such that it can learn people's names and address the individual. So if there was Tiffany in a class and Tiffany in her exercises wrote something, it would say, oh, so and so, so and so, you think this, what would you like to explain what your idea of this would be? So you can actually read and understand it. And associated with the podcasting, I've used a little bit of computer science to have a podcast, and it can cut it up in different ways. And also in the process of going forward, I've done a little bit of work with speech to text and structuring that and getting editing methods to go forward. So moving all these together, I think we can get there. So I've written a paper on it. But there is a marketing aspect of it, which is rather well. And I want to step back from saying my marketing solution and that's it. I want to step back and say, look, it requires work as a marketing solution, but it requires this first thing. So in order to actually get this, I'll send this paper that I'm working on. I've called it Scientist in a Box. That is, he gets the fundamental idea that this box is going to team teach with you and get the absolute science correct. And I feel sort of almost ashamed that they've got the science wrong, and the right is fairly simple and fairly quick. It's sort of like not an industry involved in it. There's an industry in getting it, and I've got all these methods, sort of marketing. I think I've crossed over from scientific literature to complete a new form of hybrid marketing paper. So with this, I've got the base paper, which I've edited easily over 300 times. Now, the issue here is it's around 10,000 words, this paper. And 10,000 words is 100 minutes doing it. And what I do is I feed it in, and it can hear a bit of an echo here as I'm walking underneath the Black Sun train overpass, walking back. It takes a bit of time, and I unfortunately fall asleep. So I can wake up and do little bits, and it's a bit like I don't know, the Sistine Chapel painting, this whole area. However, they've got several different Michelangelos working on different sections, and they haven't seen it. Not that I'm on the Michelangelo section, but it's got a big theme and things aren't sticking together. And so on the cracks between different artists or different concepts, I've had to work it together. And it's been really a productive process, I suppose, from your top down. I've sort of started at different points, drilling up, building up, and pruning. Very complex process. But essentially, it's a the real fault I see is that teachers don't understand what they're teaching, for one, and therefore they don't understand what they're teaching. They're purveyors of conclusions, so they have a way of looking at conclusions as, this is what's accepted, this is a conclusion, shut up or I'll fail you. This type of stuff, which is, it sounds awful, it sounds very crushing, and it's miles away from the productive end of science. Now, strangely, the most productive end of science has been where people have made moral conclusions, which is completely the wrong way to approach science, but that's been the most productive, this dogma-based science there. And the problem is that the people are tuned to judgmental conclusions. It's in, it's out, following, it's not. Whereas the conclusion I'm looking at is a strategic conclusion. This is a conclusion where you say, well, I'm going to keep on doing this, I'll keep that strategy up, I'll keep on doing that. While it's sort of almost like a human program, while people aren't putting up, I can continue to put resources in at these places. Oh, there's obstacle here, I can pull back here and push forward on this. So that's the overall idea. Now, following into this is the idea of layers and layers of marketing involved. That is, what is the marketing aspect? So I have Gladys the dancing duck, who dances to Doctor Who. This is, in terms of marketing, intensely strong. Then I have the bat phone, utility phone, intensely strong. Like, if you can imagine people only having sort of very hard black and white, you know, pencils to colour something in, and you've got full on acrylic super glow in the dark colours to colour it all in. So all of that, but the overarching theme, marketing theme for this is scientists in a box, but from this very slow start, so how long, that doesn't seem long, yeah, it seems long. I've been working on this it seems a long time, but it must have been only since January. But this is where most people do heaps of things in a day. I've just been exercising, blood tests, bit of electronics, bit of community support, and this, hours and hours a day on this, and finally coming up with this idea of what do you call this marketing wise. And from a marketing perspective, there's this I'm not saying it's an emotional thing, it's just a realistic thing. There's this very intense feeling that I'm willed to fail. And one of the things is that I suppose the way you do, if you will fail, you can get really stressed and start trying to escape prematurely when all the guards are watching. What I'm really trying to do is perhaps get there right up on the gallows, where everyone's smiling, and then just at the last moment, kick the executioner down the well and run away. That's my plan. And you've got to keep, as they say, put the goons to sleep. If you've ever watched The Great Escape, you've got to, on the surface, make sure that everything's working well, and push across. So that's a bit harder to go. You'll probably have to, if you're interested, if I've made any impact, see the scientists in the box, and see some of the quantum mechanics and its beauty. Well, it's hard to say. It's not impressive at the moment, but it is engaging to see everything. But in the meantime, I'm just going to quietly push things across. Now, in terms of summary, we've given two levels of introduction. One is that this is a podcast while walking, and I've walked from Brooklands to Blacksand in the background, and you can see here the noisy, super noisy trucks. That's coming along. And then I've given you a life story introduction that I am an Australian inventor and scientist. And in Australia, this, I'm not complaining, but this is the reality of what happens to people, people like this. And I think it's the way that happens to every... every country on Earth. And to Australia's credit, they've picked me up. They've put a really fantastic fix on me. And I've had the resources here to do... Oh, come on. To do therapy and training, and to really focus on. And also the effort to podcast and to fix up this area. This is only just one dimension. I've got to do the writing, the memory dimension. Then in that round, I've got the credibility that I'm the person who is sort of left in the corner and then folds up an origami frog out of a tissue. Not that I can do that, but I... just have had this tradition of doing these things, so therefore it makes sense that there are these things here. And the issue is they're there they're there, you're welcome to use them, because I'm, at the moment, they're not dead to me, but, you know, they've had their run, they've given me the entertainment. I very much, when I was looking pretty grim before the operation, I said, well, haven't I had a fantastic life? Not so much a relative of some people, but I've seen the most fantastic, amazing things in laboratories. I've seen lasers do amazing things, optical fibers jump up and stick to things, just these things which are obvious when you get to know it, but so surprising. I thought that's great. And so under that same sort of thing, I've built it up to a level that I myself can say, oh, that's great. So that's the level. This is cards, I've built that. I've called them clutter cards. I've built the software to mass produce it. And now I'm not a bit like MacGyver trying to actually get myself out of a sticky situation. There's no necessarily bad, there are obviously bad guys, there are people who the theme is there's bad guys, they're really wishing you to fail, but that's sort of not an overpowering view, because you've just got to keep calm, cool, focused, put them out of your mind and keep on going. And the actual light at the end of the tunnel is a very long way away, but the illumination for it is this pop culture, the marketing, perhaps, it's there. And so if this is an interesting call up, and I'll send the paper through to you. If it's not, it's okay. And consider this as sort of a smorgasbord where you can say, crap, show me that. And maybe some interest, and maybe put it in the shelf until the absolutely most likely customer walks through your door. The idea of that happening up in the mountains in Australia is pretty low, in my experience, but all the best. So I'm now up, ready to have my haircut and blood test. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.